I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I like to think we tell the truth around here. So, no lasso from Wonder Woman necessary. We're just going to be honest. Raise your hand if your wagon is sagging. Or if you're just in general, your rear end is dragging. And I don't mean literally. I mean figuratively. It's the hump show, which means it's okay if you're a little bit upside down and inside out. That's me, actually. This show better be darn good. So it's serving as a pick-me-up. I hope it's serving as a pick-me-up for you. Yeah, man, I don't know what happened. This is a week in which I'd slept really well to start the week, but not so much today. And so it was one of those frustrating nap times. You ever try to nap and you can't fall asleep right away? And then you get stressed out because you can't fall asleep. And you know that the alarm is going off and you know you have things to do. And it's really annoying that you can't take advantage of this window to be able to take a nap. Ugh. So you try to take a nap anyway. Maybe you fall asleep 10 minutes before your alarm goes off, which makes it even worse. That's not even a power nap. That's just a big fat tease. And then you wake up after those 10 minutes and you might feel worse than you did when you lay down. Maybe I'm the only person on the planet who's ever had this experience. It happens to me on a fairly regular basis. It's hard. For those of you who work late night, whether second shift or third shift, you know sometimes it's a pain in the rear end to navigate sleep schedules. And so my wagon is dragging and sagging, and I'm going to need this to be a really good show. Hope you don't mind. I actually hope that's not you, because it kind of sucks to feel like you got run over by a truck. What do people say to you all the time when it's like they have a really bad bruise? Oh, it looks a lot worse than it is. Okay, that sounded a lot worse than it is. You don't need to feel bad for me. Just like, whoa, it's the hump show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Nonetheless, I'm going to bring it. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Dave has called in sick, called out sick. Well, he called in to say he's out. It's going to be one of those shows where I laugh at myself. Just pay me no attention. So Brian is with us tonight, along with Chris. For the Hump Show, we're going to need your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Although I got to tell you, you do so at your own peril. I cannot be responsible for what answers come out of my mouth on this particular edition of the Hump Show. But you can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Send your questions. The bright orange box is your dead giveaway. I sincerely hope, as much as I love y'all, I sincerely hope there are not the same number of questions for Ask Amy as we had comments about the Dak Prescott contract demands. Between Facebook and Twitter, we had well over 500 comments. You guys are really into this football stuff, you know? I tried. I did my absolute best to read through them all and to weed out the yahoos who insist on using ridiculous language and calling people names. But what are we, in kindergarten? But I don't know that I could keep up with you guys. You're eating up this football stuff. And so we've got Tony Romo commenting on Dak Prescott, the triumvirate, really. Dak, Zeke, Amari, and the contracts that they seek. We've also got the latest on Antonio Brown, just in time for Hump Show. The Oakland Raiders wide receiver makes an appearance at Oakland Raiders training camp. What? That seems so logical. But we've got not just AB himself talking feet, and helmets. I never thought I'd spend so much time on feet and helmets. But in addition, Derek Carr about his new wide receiver that he really isn't practiced with much. He'll tell you why that's not a problem. And John Gruden, who was apparently the star of Hard Knocks, episode 2. Now, I do not watch it live. I will watch it on Wednesday and take notes. There are a couple of reasons, none of which you care about, but I don't have HBO, so I have to watch it on demand. And so I will watch it, but judging by Twitter, John Gruden was a big-time star. And I told you guys, I would much rather listen to John Gruden, NFL football coach, than I would listen to John Gruden, the broadcaster. And that's not to say he doesn't share information and make great points and have incredible wisdom and insight, but I like the unfiltered John Gruden. And so I'm looking forward to watching episode 2 of Hard Knocks, and I will take notes and share my observations a lot like I did for episode 1. I do know that a good portion of the way through episode 2, the helmet issue hadn't been addressed. So someone needs to tell me if the helmet issue was addressed at all, or if it did not make it into episode 2. Did it hit the cutting room floor? Never got brought up? I need to know. Somebody has to tell me. Also, how much airtime did AB's feet get? Am I going to have to watch through a crack in my fingers? I don't want to see his feet any more than I have to. But I did see a lot of chatter on Twitter about AB's feet and the airtime they were getting. This is more than I ever wanted to know about frozen feet. So you can find me on Twitter, A Law Radio, or our Facebook page, either one, if you watched episode 2 of Hard Knocks. It is kind of funny. I mean, I actually find this to be highly entertaining. The pursuit of a helmet that Antonio Brown can wear. Between him and Drew Rosenhaus, they put it out there on social media that they're looking for a newer, older model of this helmet that he's been wearing his entire career. And apparently have found one. Brown put it out there on social media that if he could find a helmet, if someone would give him a model of this helmet that's not more than 10 years old, that he would exchange it for a signed practice-worn Raiders helmet. So again, he's looking for a particular brand and model of this helmet that was manufactured in 2010 or after, because it wouldn't be completely outdated. Now, that doesn't mean the NFL is going to allow it. It would still have to go through safety testing. It would still have to be certified by the organization that approves helmets in terms of safety standards. So there's no guarantee that this newer, older version of the helmet would get certified and be allowed. But that's his next step. That's what he's trying. I guess the good news is, since he can't practice because of his feet, he's got more time to work on finding a helmet that he can wear on the field that he likes. What did Steve Tasker tell us on the show last night? If I'm the Raiders, if I'm Antonio Brown, I'm trying on 50 different helmets. Every friggin' helmet I can get my hands on to figure out which one I can live with, which one I can play in with the least amount of adjustment. As for Gruden, he still expects that we're going to see Antonio Brown on the field come week 1 against the Denver Broncos. Also, I get the sense that he's had enough. Can you hear him with the Chucky face as he talks about Antonio Brown these days? I feel like the face is ever present.
I'm not going to really talk about it anymore. We've had a pretty good understanding of the foot injury. We know where he's been. We know what he's been through. We're thrilled to have him back. And obviously, we think he's a great player, and we're anxious to get the men together and get rolling.
Can you hear the sigh at the end there? We're anxious to get the men together and get rolling. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. If nothing else, this drama around Antonio Brown and how he might fit in with Derek Carr and the rest of the Raiders offense, it's given us a real reason as sports fans to watch the Raiders. Yes, they were 4-12 last year, bottom of the AFC West. We know teams go from worst to first every year. The Bears did it last year. They were just one example. But let's be honest. I can't wait to see what week number one brings. Now that we're kind of getting the behind the scenes video and audio, more video of his feet than I ever need. But if he actually is on the field week number one, it's going to be can't miss TV. Even for those people who've written him off. Just to see if he can get up to speed the way that he was before, to see what kind of rapport he has with Derek Carr. Carr was a guest on Sirius XM NFL Radio, and he explains why he's not worried at all about this rhythm and rapport with Antonio Brown.
You know, what's crazy is I feel very comfortable. I feel like I've thrown to him every day. You know, he comes out, you know, that one practice, he has three plays, there's two touchdowns, you know, and everyone's like, wow, well, they're on the same page. Well, we spent hours, you know, randomly at high schools. We spent hours randomly at the park. Yeah. We spent hours, you know, randomly just by ourselves throwing to where, you know, in my head, I was like, this is his 10th or 11th year. I was like, training camp, I don't think he'll have as many reps, right? You're trying to save his legs and things like that. But so I was planning ahead, not knowing that his feet and all those kind of things would be taking place. But comfortability is really high. And again, we still have a lot of weeks until week one.
That's true. As much as I am the weirdo, I'm sure I'm the only one who's counting the days, or at least looking at it the end of the summer, the rest of the summer, through the lens of how many weeks until football. I'm sure I'm the only one who's doing that. There are still plenty of weeks for him to get healthy, for him to get out there and run with the offense. There's still plenty of time. So for Antonio Brown, the Raiders don't sound worried, especially now that they know where he is. But what about Andrew Luck? That's a completely different story. I'm starting to get worried. I can only imagine how the Colts feel. So we'll get to that coming up. Also in 25 minutes, inside of a half hour, we're going to spend some time on the shores of Lake Erie. The Indians insider from our Cleveland affiliate, 92.3 The Fan, James Rapine, he will join us to talk about what's been the best run in the majors going back the last 8 weeks. They lost in extras to the Red Sox on Tuesday night. However, this is a force to be reckoned with now in the Cleveland Indians. And I really need to know, are sports fans giving them equal time with all the excitement around the Browns? We are just getting started. It's our hump show. If you need someone to commiserate with you about how working late night and overnight stinks and how bad the sleeping is, oh, you can just find me on Twitter. I'm in the mood to commiserate. Misery loves company. So A-Law Radio, and if you want to send your questions for Ask Amy, you can do it on either Twitter or Facebook. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It's really not a laughing matter. The guy was hurt. He was innocent. He didn't do anything wrong. And the helmet thing is a personal matter to him. You know, he has a strong feeling about what he's worn on his head, and we're supporting him.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Have we heard the last word on Antonio Brown? Something tells me not. It never seems to be the last word. It always seems to be perpetual drama with AB. Although I much prefer it drama on the field. It's just that a lot of times it doesn't stay on the field. It'd be great if he could get on the field and actually play some football, but that seems to be the next step. Brown and his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, both reporting to Napa on Tuesday, and a sight for sore eyes. for both Derek Carr, John Gruden, the Hard Knocks TV cameras, to be sure. Next step, finding a helmet that the NFL will certify and playing football again. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Brown himself told us all, as we wait with bated breath, I'd rather hear about the feet than see the feet. So here's the latest.
A lot better, you know, working towards 100%. You know, it's been a process with the feet. Anytime, you know, you got a lot of blisters and, you know, it's hard to change direction, cut and run and be able to do what I do naturally. But I'm a start from the good foot. I've been away getting a lot of work, so I'm excited to just move forward.
One of the things that you've heard a lot, if you've either listened to the interviews done in preseason with the Raiders or watched Hard Knocks or talked to anyone who has been on a team or coached Antonio Brown in the past, he works extremely hard. His work ethic is off the charts. And from the opening episode of Hard Knocks, I took away really that they couldn't even allow him on the field because he wouldn't throttle back. The trainers try to tell him, you can't go full tilt, you can't run full speed, and he wouldn't listen. And so they couldn't allow him on the field to do any kind of a work because it was doing more damage to his feet. And so he does work extremely hard. No doubt, as soon as he's cleared, can you imagine, he's itching to get out there on the field for sure. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. It's good news for Raiders fans and Antonio Brown, the opposite of good news for one NFL starting quarterback. The Colts had been saying all along that Andrew Luck was nursing a calf injury. Now, this goes back even to May and OTAs. But now it's not just a calf injury. Somehow it's progressed to a high ankle sprain. Whether it's because he didn't wait for it to be completely healed. He's been off the practice field for weeks now. And the Colts had been saying all along that he was taking his time, that they're allowing him to dictate when he's ready to be out there playing football again, but they still felt good about him participating in the season opener. And now they're not sure he's going to be able to play come September 8th. That's opening day for the Colts against the Chargers. Man, what a matchup. Week one, Colts-Chargers. It'll feel like we got gypped, and the Colts got gypped if there's no Andrew Luck. So we're inside of a month to go, and general manager Chris Ballard actually is hedging his bets about whether Luck will be ready. Why? Because it's not just a calf problem anymore. Now he's dealing with pain in his, and I'll quote Chris Ballard, high ankle-ish area. We learn about frozen feet, cryotherapy chambers like the one I'm sitting in right now in our CBS Sports Radio studio. I guess there's some positive news, though. It's hard to fall asleep if you're in a room that is this cold. So now we're hearing about ankle-ish areas of the leg. High ankle-ish. The audio from Chris Ballard is from a conference call, so I'll just tell you what he says. It's not great audio. But going back to March through now, Ballard says Luck's been dealing with a calf strain and then has had some pain in the area just below his calf. So Andrew told the team and trainers that it was lower leg pain. Almost in the ankle area. That's how Chris Ballard describes it. Andrew told us it was almost in the ankle area. It's not getting better. He's still experiencing pain, even though he's not practicing. And so now Ballard and the athletic training staff feel like they're dealing with an ankle issue. So he's been wiped from the preseason. Andrew Luck will not play in the preseason. And right now, all he's doing is trying to rehab. I guess the positive, if there's a positive take out of this for Luck and for Colts fans, there isn't any talk of surgery, But heavens, that's got to raise red flags too, going back to when he had the shoulder problems. And for a long time, there was no talk of surgery. Unfortunately, it's just not getting better. The other thing that caught my attention from Chris Ballard is that he said, if Luck has to, he'll play at less than 100%. But after the way the Colts finished last year, really the second half of last season, they won 9 of 10. They made the playoffs as a wild card. They won a playoff game opening weekend. I mean, this is supposed to be a continuation for the Colts. So this sucks. It really does. Apparently, Luck can move back and forth. He can stand there and throw. He can take small steps in the pocket. But anything going side to side is major pain. Ballard trying to stay optimistic, saying at least we now know what it is. We figured out the problem. But the fact that he won't play in the preseason and they're not sure about the opener on September 8th, at this point even, it's August 13th or 14th, depending on where you are. They're already saying he won't play until the season opener and maybe not even then. So that's a bummer. It's a bummer for me as someone who loves football and was excited to see what the Colts could do to start out this season. They could carry that momentum over. I mean, that's not really how it happens, but they certainly had plenty of motivation in the offseason and then this preseason to try to build on what happened last year. They were a great surprise at the 2018 campaign. One more note from football, and then we'll transition to Major League Baseball. Golden Tate's 4-game suspension has been upheld. I'm not surprised by this at all. I remember talking about it when he appealed to an arbitrator. Remember, he told the NFL that he popped positive in a drug test for fertility drugs, and that one of the banned substances on the NFL's list is from fertility medication he's taking. Well, here's the problem. Not only does the NFL have a no-tolerance policy, they do have some stipulations for medications that are described by doctors, except that Tate didn't follow protocol. So you're supposed to go through the NFL, fill out the proper paperwork, let them know that you're going to do this, let them know that you've got a doctor recommending and prescribing these drugs, and he didn't do it. He's got no one to blame but himself. The NFL cannot take his word for it. You cannot set that kind of precedent if you're the NFL. You can't. And without him following the steps that he needed to follow so he could take these drugs and it would be on the up and up and everybody would know it, the league can't say, okay, we're just going to believe you. That opens up a whole can of worms that the league has to start judging intent. And it's impossible to do that. There are a lot of really freaking good liars out there. Anyway, so unfortunately for Tate, he didn't do the paperwork and let the league know ahead of time. He didn't let the league know he had a doctor prescribing it. And so he's going to have to serve that 4-game suspension. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page coming up, the Indians did lose in extras on Tuesday night, but they still got the best record in Major League Baseball going back to June 4th. What's the catalyst behind this incredible push?
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
A swing and a line drive to the gap. Left center base hit. It'll go to the wall. Allen scores. Lindor with a double. Leaping, celebrating, raising his arms. Oh, what a night. We are tied at 6.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
More late game dramatics for the Cleveland Indians. And they did force the game against the Red Sox into extras. However, it was a Jackie Bradley Jr. home run in the 10th inning that provided the final advantage on a night when Chris Sale crosses the 2,000 strikeout threshold, quickest in Major League Baseball history. Tom Hamilton with that call from the 9th inning at Progressive Field on the Indians radio network. And despite the loss, and with the Twins win, actually, the Indians have fallen a half game back in the AL Central standings. Despite all of that, it's mostly good news. 43-18 are the Windians going back to the first week in June. Best record in majors, the majors over that span. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Really excited to welcome James Rapine from our affiliate in Cleveland, 92.3 The Fan. He covers the Indians and the Cavaliers. They're not in season. James, thanks so much for a couple of minutes. What's been the major driving force between this incredible rally by the Indians going back to the beginning of June?
It's hard to say one thing because it's been such a variety of factors. Almost everyone's chipping in, from the stars on the team like Francisco Lindor, Carlos Santana, to young players that no one had ever heard of a few months ago like Zach Plesac, who's done great as a starting pitcher. So it's really been it sounds really cliche, but a complete team effort. But I will say it starts with Francisco Lindor. It starts with Mike Clevinger's return. Shane Bieber has been wonderful for the Indians this year. So the higher end superstar guys that have emerged over the past couple of months that have been great. And then another guy, and I could just keep listing guys, but Oscar Mercado, really since he got brought up in late May, has kind of stabilized the outfield and helped them in that second spot in the two hole. Because that was a revolving door before Mercado got promoted. So it's been a complete team effort, but it's certainly been something that's gotten Cleveland excited for something other than the Browns, which I think is hard to do.
You mentioned Shane Bieber, and I was going to ask about him specifically because he's now 12-4 with an ERA about 3.25 and leads the team in strikeouts. How much of a surprise is his second year in the majors?
I think a huge surprise. Not that anyone expected him to be bad. I think people thought he was going to be good, but he was their team's fifth, or he was the Indians' fifth starter going into the year. I mean, they felt great about him as that type of guy, but now you look and he's arguably their ace, worst case, their second best pitcher, and he's been as reliable as anyone in that rotation. Three complete games this year, 12-4. Obviously, he was an all-star and all-star game MVP. So it's been a pretty surreal thing season so far for Bieber. And the thing with him that I think stands out above anything else is how even-keeled he is. He's the same guy I saw on opening day cheering on Clevinger. Same guy I saw a month in. You know, he didn't let the All-Star game affect him. He hasn't had let the team success impact him. And I think those around him were surprised at that a little bit. The Indians, not so much. But, yeah, he's been a shiny star and a new toy that the Indians have gotten, and he's helped them big this year.
Same number of wins as the Twins, just one more in the loss column, so a half game back now. What's the latest on Corey Kluber? When might the Indians see him again in the starting rotation?
I could see him coming back later this month. He's progressing well. His workouts have been as intense as anyone rehabbing from a broken forearm like he has, and he made his second rehab start for Double-A Akron tonight, pitched four innings, allowed one run, was perfect through three. So things seem to be progressing well. He threw 60 pitches tonight, so I would expect at least one more rehab start. And then if he's back later this month, I wouldn't be shocked at all. I think that was their goal all along, is to get him back at some point in August. And it looks like he's on track to do just that.
One of my favorite moments from the All-Star break there at Progressive Field in Cleveland was the stand up to cancer and Carlos Carrasco with all of his teammates. And he's been vocal about what he's gone through as he has battled leukemia. What's his status?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy because as scary as leukemia sounds, and it obviously is, there's a real chance that at some point this year he could take the mound again for the Indians.
Wow.
It's insane to think, but I really think that they're ramping him up, so to speak, and not putting expectations on him, but they're certainly trying to see if he can do that, and he's certainly open to it. He's thrown for the better part of a month. He threw a bullpen on Tuesday afternoon and then took ground balls off the mound and ran sprints. And he was asking to throw to hitters this week. So wow. If he does that, that's usually the step right before rehab start, you know? So it's good to see. We'll see if it continues. You never know with something like this. I don't think anyone in the Indians organization can really put expectations on it. There certainly isn't a timetable. But I wouldn't be shocked at all if at some point this year, even if it's in a bullpen role, Carlos Carrasco rejoins the Indians and contributes to the big league club.
James Rapine of our Cleveland affiliate, 92.3 The Fan, talking about the Indians. Best record in the majors going back about 9 weeks or so. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. How much of an inspiration has he been? The fact that he's even participating in any baseball activities after what he's been through.
Well, you said best record since June 4th. He went on the injured list on June 5th. The team found out about his diagnosis on June 4th, from what I know. So it sounds like it came right then, you know, as far as inspiration. And I will say, as storybook as that sounds, or as crazy as that sounds, I do think that there was a change in the clubhouse. Now, does that mean it translated to success on the field? No, but I think it put baseball in perspective because a lot of those guys were struggling. A lot of the role players that have stepped up over the past few months were struggling and having issues at the plate, having issues in the field. Jose Ramirez was not the guy that he's been over the past 6 weeks or so. So I think that was the Carrasco news kind of put things in perspective and helped everyone reset and rally not only around him, but rally together. And it's helped them during this run for sure.
Not just the inspiration, but just the joy that seems to be so contagious with this team as they've managed to go from being, you know, a team that barely has a pulse to a team that's now challenging for a division title.
I think they're having a blast right now. I mean, even tonight they lose to the Red Sox and it's 6-1 and it just seems like they're going to go out with a whimper and try to win the series tomorrow. And instead they take it to extras. They find a way to rally. And it's one of those things where right now they're playing and expecting to win every single game. They don't think they're out of any game, and we've seen it over the past couple of months. So, yeah, I think they're having a blast. I think that the young guys have certainly contributed to that and have just jumped right in without really missing a beat. I mean, Aaron Civale has 3 starts, and he's had to do it in critical times. Has allowed 2 runs and 3 starts. So there's just a handful of guys that have contributed that no one would have expected. And I really do. You're right. They're having a ton of fun doing it, having the best record in baseball for the past couple of months.
What was the main reason for the trade of Trevor Bauer to Cincinnati?
I think the main thing was baseball. Now, there were certainly some contributing factors, but I think baseball-wise, when you looked at his contract and he has 1 year left of arbitration next year, and he's made it very clear he wants to do 1-year deals in 2021 and moving forward. He's not going to sign any long-term extension because he wants to maximize his value. I think the Indians looked at that, and they looked at the young pitchers they have, Mike Clevinger, Shane Bieber, and the list really goes on there. And they said, all right, well, this is a guy that at some point we're going to have to move on from. I don't think that they had to move on from him at the deadline, and I think they were only looking for a deal that they got, which was a deal that not only helped them this year, but in the future. And so that's why they made the move. But I certainly think that his act had worn thin on some of the guys in the clubhouse for sure, especially the coaches. You know, if you're Terry Francona, the last thing you want to do is be answering questions about Trevor Bauer throwing the ball over the center field wall. So I think that his act had worn thin a bit, but it took the right deal to get it done, and that's why he's in Cincinnati.
James Rapine of 92.3, The Fan in Cleveland, our affiliate with us After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Okay, you mentioned act, though. Yasiel Puig's been known to have an act every now and then. So how is he fitting in with the Indians so far?
He's fitting in extremely well. And I think that was one of those major concerns when you talk about Puig, is how is he going to fit with this team that has built this chemistry, was surging at the deadline, really transformed itself from a seller to a buyer. You don't want to bring someone in to disrupt that. And he's come in right away, and he knew Francisco Lindor and Carlos Santana a little bit. But he's come in and they love him. And it helps that he's hitting around 350 in 11 games for the Indians. But so he's playing well. But it's one of those things where he's come in right away. Fans love him. Naturally, he's one of the stars in baseball. But he's also fit in well with what Terry Francona preaches. And one thing that stands out to me is I think it was maybe a week after he got here, I walk into the clubhouse, and he's sitting there with Francisco Lindor, Carlos Santana, Franmil Reyes, and they're just talking like they've been teammates all year. It's been a good acquisition so far for the Tribe.
Tell the truth, though. Is it 50-50 Indians, Browns? What is it?
Oh, I mean, it's certainly Browns, man. People are excited about Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham Jr., et cetera. You know, I mean, and the Browns are exciting, and I think part of it is, you know, the fans of Cleveland, Indians fans, Browns fans, they've seen the Indians do well and win divisions and even go to the World Series a few years ago. The Browns, they've been bad for 20 years. So this is new, uncharted waters for a lot of Browns fans. So I think they're extremely excited, but certainly paying attention to the Indians in their run here and excited to see if they can do something in October.
October is just around the corner.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.